At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Barcelona and Manchester United then, two modern superpowers.
The core of the team was like so angry to achieve trophies because Barcelona have a Thierry, Samuel Eto'o, Messi, don't win any trophies in the season. It was unacceptable for the fans and the club.
Yaya Touré moving back into that central defensive role. Sergio Busquets in the holding midfield role for Barca tonight.
People praise me for my courage, for my determination, because they know it was not my position. But I don't want to regret, I have to give everything.
Real threat here and a goal from Samuel Eto'o.
You take a risk putting me there, but you don't have any choice. You can't afford to lose this game.
Xavi once more, in towards Messi. Oh, it's a majestic finish.
Today, we're off to 2009, a year that saw swine flu test our immune reaction, a year that saw the sudden death of Michael Jackson, a year that brought financial drama, the collapse of the Icelandic banking system, and the ascent of Barack Obama, and in football, a year that belonged to one team, Barcelona. Barcelona were winners of La Liga that summer and the Copa del Rey too. And in May of 2009, they were on the brink of becoming the first ever La Liga side to win the treble if they could beat the Champions League holders, Manchester United, in the final. Amongst their ranks that day was a man whose journey had taken him from Bouaké to Belgium to Barcelona and would soon see him become a legend in the Premier League too. His name, Yaya Touré, and he joins us today. Thank you so much for joining us. How many trophies have you won, Yaya?
I think a lot. Can be 19 or 18. Depends. All the clubs have been involved with the national team as well. The 18s plus China, maybe 19, but depends. It was incredible.
Four African Player of the Year awards.
Yeah.
Where does the Champions League, where does that rank in all of those?
Second after I win the FCON with the 2015 with my country, because I think that one was the main one. Why? Because for the country, you know, it's really, really important and it means a lot, you know, because when you get back down there, see your family, see your friends, see your people, you know what I mean? They prize you, And every day you go to the road, you be around your friend or your people, you know it, you know what I mean? Something unforgettable.
Well, we're here to talk about your second most important trophy today. But
yeah.
I want to go back a bit if I can, because I don't know too much about your childhood in Bouaké. How was that?
Oh, it was quite one different one, because I was growing up and the city was lovely. I was surrounded with the lovely people. My family was okay, and I was trying to find myself in the right way, you know. And my father was a military guy. He was working, and sometimes he'd been going assessing different places, and because he was working for the government, and we have to move on all together.
Right, okay. And that's something you could continue with through your career. Yeah. The number of places you've been to is extraordinary. So you were there growing up, happy family, you had loads of brothers as well. Kolo, who very familiar to people in the United Kingdom, who's a couple of years older than you.
Yeah, 2 years more than me, yeah.
All right, what was that like, having him kind of as the big brother, kind of forging ahead with his career?
No, because sometimes it's quite complicated, so quite difficult, you know what I mean? Because you chase your brother who have been made it already, and he's been the senior man, the example. Mm. For the humble family we've been through, I think the most important is that I have to follow the step of my brother. It was sometimes difficult, you know, because I'm close to him and the family. Because after Kolo is me, and after me is my brother passed away after my sister. But it was the one I was looking after, you know what I mean? Because he was always giving the example, always the one who work hard. Because sometimes when we're in academy together, sometimes when we do a physical task, I was thinking like it was too hard. I prefer half to ball because for me, the time when the demand is too higher, it's difficult, you know what I mean? And I have to have someone who's going to guide me or give me some good advice in following, or said, okay, follow my step, and I follow him step. And I think Kolo has been brilliant to me, you know what I mean? Through all years, through, he's been the one who's been guiding me and support me and always be close to me.
So at 13 years of age, you get spotted by a French coach who worked a lot with talent in Ivory Coast, called Jean-Marc Gouillet. Thank you. Okay, thanks for pronouncing it for me. So tell us a little bit about him. He managed Caen back in the 80s, where coincidentally he gave Arsene Wenger his first break.
Best friend.
Yeah, interesting stuff. And then he became very active in kind of developing talent in Ivory Coast.
That's why I want to go to the industry, because the last time I talked with him, because be a football player, be a talented player, doesn't mean you're going to be the top coach. You know, that's really, really different. You know, I think for me is a too big gap between there. You know what I mean? Because be a player, you're going to be selfish. You're going to be on your own, try to do your own things. But when you come into the manager, you have to manage. You have to, you know, you have to understand that character. You have to mix it, a different character to have the best team. And it was tough. When I was talking with him sometime, coming to Africa is something different, because there, the passion of football was different, you know, because the family allowed the coach to just educate them in the proper way. And it's quite different than what I see in England. It's totally different from all the football I've gone through, from the academy until getting, and where I was until the end. It's something talked to me. Every individual, as a young, as an old, had a different view of football, and I have to maybe be close to them, like a friend, maybe not, maybe yeah, but as a coach, you have to understand the best of the group and get the best of the players is really, really important.
That's really interesting. I want to ask you about your approach to coaching and how that's going a little bit later on. But returning to you as a youth, so Jean-Marc also had this club in Belgium called Beveren. So you travelled over there. What age would you have been?
Yeah, because when I was there, because first of all, I was a youth. I was so lost, if I can say that, to be honest with you. Because I was young, I never used to leave outside of Ivory Coast, and my family was far away. My brother at that time was Arsenal, and it was a really, really tough for me, you know, to understand, because the culture, the food, the understanding, and all these things, all the package around was really, really tough for me. And I need one year and a half or 2 years to adapt it, understand it, because my dream when I was in young kids, when I was watching TV and my back down at home, like a Champions League, when I was looking around Ronaldo, Pauleta from Paris Saint-Germain, Rice, Brazilian is playing for Paris. Canal Plus Horizon was a favorite canal in Ivory Coast. And all the games from France, Germany, but we didn't have it with Spain, we didn't have England at that time as much. But my dream was like coming to Europe, because I was thinking there is going to be professional and I have to adapt, because my target was there, just to make it there.
You were quite a PSG fan by the sound of it.
Well, not PSG things, but just getting there and be involved with it, because I was thinking that there is so professional and there are going to have a life and are going to have a living.
Around that time, you had the chance to go and join your brother Kolo at Arsenal. His trial at Arsenal is the stuff of legends. Yeah. He's kind of two-footed tackling on Arsene Wenger and stuff. How did yours go?
I remember at that time, because there was a big brothers, the big players, and they were saying sometimes the young ones want to wash the shoes, you know, and I have to be able to do that. And it was incredible, you know what I mean? The journey of there, learning and understanding, make me grow a lot. Because if I can say, the only good time and the only blessing time that I have it and my football career is that, mean be surrounded by people who understand it. Because be close to Ray Parra, be close to Patrick Vieira, be close to all the players, Will Todd Vincenzo, make me grow a lot. Because the way I see them train every day, come in them, take care of themselves after the training or after the games. And between that, when they have the games and weekend, where the clubs, Arsenal was organizing the bus to us, to the youth to go to the games and watch them playing. And that was brilliant. And that's from that, I get it, the idea to when they come to the England, because the atmosphere was fantastic.
Right. So you had a trial. It was a friendly game, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, Barnet.
Okay. There's a lot said about it, but Arsene Wenger saying afterwards that essentially the reason, and he always regretted the fact that he wasn't able to bring you in, it came down to a work permit.
Yes, that's it. I didn't have a 75% in that time because in that period it was different law in the Premier League. I didn't have 75% of playing in a national team.
Mm.
If I was in European at that time, it would be more easier, to be honest.
Definitely. Okay. So from Beveren, instead, you go to Ukraine.
Ukraine, yes.
Right. You have 2 years there with Metalursk. That was another big change after Belgium, no?
Yeah, because I wanted to do that. Because when I was in Beveren, to be honest, I was surrounded by friends, by big brothers, because the academy, the connection between the academy and the Beveren, they have just... And I didn't feel I was in the professional environment, like just be by myself, understanding, learning, and studying a lot of things. Because when I was there, I was still speaking French because my teammates were around me. And I think my time was up and there. And when I went to Arsenal for the try after that, I was not older of the European passport. After that, I have to go back to Beveren.
So you chose Ukraine. How was it there?
It was really, really tough. Really, really tough. To be honest, from there, I learned a lot. I think from there, I started to understand it, because someone coming to the country, just try to learn, try to understand the people around him, try to be with the community, try to share and try to speak the language and just learn the language, go to the school. It was really, really important. That's why when people thinking I was traveling around, I was not thinking that. I was just going around just to understand the culture, because it's so important. Because I remember my first time when I was in Ukraine after 6 months, I think my neighbor, I never talked to her all the time. But one time I was coming back from the games, and I see his kid was there. I walked through and he was pissed and he speak to me in Russian, and I respond. He was like, oh, and he's speaking after that. He was everything going on, because I would see how he respond to me. I respond to him after, he was so happy, and we exchange after that. From that day, the clubs were so happy. They was like, oh, he's, because on that time, people don't imagine.
Yeah.
African guys who can learn and talk the language. It was incredible.
How many languages do you speak, Yaya?
At the moment, four, like Russian, Spanish, English, French, Catalan a bit. And four or five, yeah.
Okay, what about Greek? Because you went to Olympiakos next.
Yeah, Greek was a shock. It was so fast. I understand why they talked when they talked to me. I didn't have the language because I didn't stay much of there. But it was a short time there, but really impressive, rich of football, rich of understanding, developing. Because on there, I was with Rivaldo. I was with experienced players like Karadospolis, Kotsis, the captain, the keeper of Greece at the time. I think it's Papadopoulos, something like that. It was, it was unbelievable. Because those players, they was the main people in there. Around them, I was learning a lot.
Magnificent. So you had a one season there, that one season at Monaco.
Yeah.
And after all of that, one day, you get a call saying Barcelona are interested in you.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, I think that was I remember where we played against Marseille. I remember like it was yesterday. And I was walking around. And after that, my ex-agent, we went to the restaurants, and he got a call from Barcelona. He said, oh, maybe we can try. And he asked me like that in front of the table, you want to try? I said, well, why not? Because he was saying to me, but you think you're ready? Because there is going to be Thiago Motta, Edmilson, Xavi, Deco, Ronaldinho. I was thinking like, that's what I want. And I had, when I was in Olympiacos, give me a lot. Rivaldo, the way he was talking to me, and the coach I have in Olympiacos, his name was Trom Sole. He was the one who was like pushing me forward and said, okay, you can play. Because in the beginning, when I arrived in Olympiacos, I was shy, just thinking. Sometime in the group, we say like, you have a big table, like you have the captain, you have the second captain, you have the important people in one table and the youngest one in another table. In Olympiacos, I lived that there. And me, I was shy, but I was like a bit curious as well, because the first time I sit on the table, I remember, they were saying, why you sitting there? Yeah, go sit on there, because you... And I was like, why don't? They said, this one is the big people there. You go there with the young one, with Babagenda, with Ozis, and the time with and Olympiacos. And when I heard this message from him, I was saying, yes, I wanted to, because he said it's going to be really difficult, and I have Jean-Luc Couturier, who was a part of the board of Monaco, And Mark Keller, as always, the director of Monaco, was saying to me, yeah, you think you can do it? I said, yes, and I want to go. And there was a question, said, no, but you have to stay 1 more year. We have to enjoy you one year, 2 years. I said, no, I have to go.
So you go to Barcelona. You mentioned some of the players they'd had. They were, what, Champions League winners the season before. And then Milan had won it in Athens. What a collection of players you joined. Did they have separate dinner tables there when you joined Barcelona? Like, was there one table for all the La Masia boys and they kind of stuck together and then everybody else somewhere else?
No, actually, there it was quite really, really cool, to be honest. Because when I arrived there, lucky to me, I arrived. I think the first transfer was January from Arsenal to Barcelona. Second one, I think, was Abidal. After that, Alves was coming. No, Alves came later. It was me, the third, which again, because at that time was a good Johnson, was a lot of players coming from England. Only Abidal was coming from Lyon. And the team was top. And I have a chance to meet players like Zambrota, Thuram, Puyol, you know, all these players. To be honest, when I played this role in deeper midfielder, I was quite annoying because Thuram and Zambrota was quite Italian. It was quite conservative. They don't want me to go in there because at that time, Rijkaard as well was a great coach who teach me a lot of things about the positioning, understanding, and he put all the things in my brain to just through it because Barcelona is really, really, really tough team. People cannot imagine how it's tough to be there because every game you have to win and win with style. That's the thing. You cannot draw. If you draw it, you're going to be in big trouble. If you smile in that, you're in trouble. But if you lost, even worse, you always have to win. I think around those people, it developed me a lot, to be honest.
Yeah, that was kind of golden age of Barcelona as well. So the Serie A defenders didn't like it when you went too far forward. How interesting. We know about how those guys were as players, and some of them still are. But off the field, what were they like? Who was friendly? Who were the big characters in that Barcelona team?
Well, I think, because when I was in there, I was always close with Samuel Eto'o because we quite have a connection, African connection. And Thierry Abidal as well, because often I was with Abidal because my wife was always close with his wife. And because we always sometimes, most of the time, organized dinner, Samuel Eto'o, Abidal. I was quite surrounded by good people, you know. And the first time I arrived there, after maybe, 5-6 days, we have a dinner with all the players. And I think, like, is the only clubs I was, when I arrived there, I find a lot of captain, for example, like Puyol, Xavi, Samuel Eto'o, Victor Valdez. Those people was on there. And Oleguer, maybe you don't know his name. But if you check on there, he was there. He was like a pure Catalan guy. Like, you understand the culture, you think. And I learned a lot from all these people, you know what I mean? There was that in me. It was said when I would do something wrong, oh, yeah, you're late. You have to be dead at that time. It was look at it for me, and it was unbelievable. And on top of that, I have a Zambrota, the Italian, after Thuram. It was a lot. It was a lot, to be honest.
Well, incredible 3 years you had there. You what, two league titles. Well, you did the treble the year they won the Champions League. Yeah. When you look back, is that kind of the most special time of your career or is it the Man City years?
I think when I look after all, I think Barcelona has been the top because this year's 2009 was the ultimate because, you know, the team was so, so, so complete. You go because as well, I forget the one name, Silvinho. I've been able to play with Silvinho. What a guy. He was unbelievable. Big brother. You know, because by coming there and seeing those players around me, it helped me a lot. But it got me, they make me understand what means football. Because at time, we can enjoy football. At time, you can thinking about money, trophies, why you get it. Because every day you wake up, you're going for what? After that, when you come in, what you prepare for the next? And that's where I developed a lot because those players was unbelievable. Saint of Javi, Iniesta. Iniesta is quiet, guys. Really quiet. Nice boy. Messi, very good. Ronaldinho, okay. Sometimes he's a joke around, just try to you know what I mean, to pet the atmosphere. Really nice. But the group was top until after that we get a new team coming in. It was unbelievable because this year's Catalonia newspaper, they were saying like it's the last year for this generation. They have, after that, if you don't win nothing in 2009, they're going to get rid of a lot of players. And we were like galvanized, want to like, we have to prove it. And this year we win all, and it was incredible.
So that year started out with you guys effectively being told you'll never live up to the last generation of Barcelona players. How funny.
No, because it was incredible because in Spain is that football is like, is more than the living because when they say in Barcelona, Messi, then club, people don't understand what they mean. Because for them, the clubs is a lot, you know what I mean? In the fans, when they come in to support, they want to see the team at a beautiful one than others, you know, because I remember one time when I was, when we beat Real Madrid at Camp Nou 2-1, I went to the street after the day off. I was going to the supermarket. I was giving food for free. I was giving stuff for free. I was saying, I want to pay. So, no, Barcelona. Yeah, totally. How the town relieved the football is impressive. It's impressive, to be honest.
Let's talk about the Champions League then, yeah. The semi-finals the previous season, still under Frank Rijkaard.
Yeah.
You got beaten by Man United. It was 0-0 at the Camp Nou, and then at Old Trafford, about a quarter of an hour in,
yeah.
Paul Scholes. Do you remember that goal?
Yeah, of course. I see it. He's still hurting me. That's why, and the final, I wanted to win in there, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when I was a defender, I wanted to stop in Ronaldo or all the striker coming in.
So the 08-09 season, there's a new manager. There's a lot of pressure on this new generation.
Mm-hmm.
Pep, I imagine, was pretty different from Frank Rijkaard in terms of his approach.
Yeah, it was really, really different because he was thinking about just be patient, passing the ball around, let them attract them, and after that, go another way. What he did, of course, all the players was big because when you get to the name, Daniel Alves, Marquez, Piqué, Puyol, Abidal, me, Busquets, Iniesta, Xavi, Samuel, all these things, all the players was like ready to go for it. And when Rijkaard left 2000, and the beginning of 2000, when we were going to preseason, we heard that because the club want to renew him, and he said he stepped down, and the club was trying to find new coach. And when they get the new coach, I remember maybe four, five, six players like that. We were on holiday, but we were already started the preseason by ourselves because we knew, because this season, how was possible all this all-star we have it. We don't win nothing. It was incredible. And we was so such of pressure. This season, 2009, I think we lost two or three games and some draw. All the time was win-win by far. First half was always 3-4 because the team was like, you know, pushed going forward and the fans was behind. The people was pressure. The media was really, really strict and difficult and it was tough.
It was unbelievable. The results you had in the Champions League, the group you went through with that, too much difficulty. It was what, Sporting Lisbon, Shakhtar,
yeah.
And then Basel. But in the knockout stages, particularly Lyon, who were still a big force in those days, 6-3 on aggregate. And then Bayern Munich, you beat them 4-0 at the Camp Nou.
Yep. It was incredible because the teams, to be honest, most of the time, we have the chat from the coach, first of all, and the coach was saying like, what we have to do, how we have to do, when we get to the restroom, you know, it was so many captains and the team and the groups. When we get maybe to the warm-up, we were talking like, guys, you know what? We push forward, press it, score 2-3 goals. After that, we can have our rondo or pass it because the next game is important again. And that's how we go through the 6-4, the triple this year. It was incredible, you know, because the mindset, it was incredible. And I remember one time I was with Samuel Eto'o and I was at home and I tried to eat different food. For example, I was, I think I was trying to eat my food from my house, from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And he come to visit me and he was said, oh, yeah, how are you? I want to eat with you. And I will try to eat. He said, yeah, you eat that. I said, no, but I'm fine. I want to eat that. He said, but this one is heavy. Next game, you're going to be injury. You have to be fit. And you just leave the table and you went. You don't want to eat.
Mm.
That's to tell you how those players was commit, understand that the magnitude of these clubs, like we come in to win. That's why people sometimes question big clubs like Madrid, Barcelona, all things. The way they're living, the philosophy they put in the head of the player will come in, going out is totally different.
Right. I found this really interesting what you were saying about the kind of tactics that year would essentially score 3 or 4 goals early on and then we can spend the rest of the game as a passing exercise. Incredible level of dominance. So Pep came in and you guys were already doing pre-season by yourselves. What did you make of him? What kind of impression did he make? Did you guys know about him particularly or when he had this more measured approach that it was...
Well, what we know about him, he was coming from the Barcelona B.
Mm-hmm.
He was coming from Barcelona B and we all want to be fit. For example, when I was on holiday before he came, but come no, I didn't know. We're thinking like Rijkaard's going to renew his contract and we will prepare him because Rijkaard was not only father for most of the players like Samuel Eto'o, Ronaldinho, Deco, you know, and me as well, Elmison, and Victor Valdez. He was the guy who when he stand there, you listen to him. Before he left, we know that maybe 3 weeks before we go to the preseason, we started to work out. Because me, I remember I started to work out because when I went after the season off La Liga, 1 week later, I have 1 week after I have off the off, and those 3 weeks, I was every day training because I wanted to get in there ready and started. And it was incredible. But when the new coach come in, it was different. It was the fact that we have to respect the opponent, but the dominance have to be accurate. Respect them is, if you have to score, we have to score. But if you have to defend, we have to defend, but all together. But it was very, very, very picky on the fact that we always have to have the ball and always have to be in front foot.
Right.
Never liked the team to defend it.
Wow, it was a magnificent team. One of the great Barcelona sides. You reached the semi-final then in 08-09 and... Again, it's
Chelsea.
It's the Chelsea game, which is quite a famous match. Your brother was in the other semi-final. Had you kind of discussed the fact you might meet in the final at all?
Yeah, I was thinking about that because Arsenal at that time, I remember we arrived to London for the return, the second leg, and United was playing away against Arsenal, and I was thinking like it's going to be a tough game because I was just dreaming playing as my brother. That was my dream. That was my thinking. We went to the table and the coach and the staff said we have to go to the dinner and watch the game, eating or maybe after the game, but we have to watch the game before we eat. I think it was later to eat. That one I don't remember properly. But after the first goal from Ronaldo, for how many yards, I forget it, but it was incredible. We say like, guys, we have to prepare United. Because from the way Ronaldo scored the goals, it was incredible. Even Victor Valdez, he was a keeper at that time, was like, oh, what? I'm going to do that. He can stop. Put his body on there. Guys, you have to sacrifice. You should put your body there. And it was impressive. United win it brilliantly, and we knew it was because at that time Arsenal was really, really good in form. United as well was have some strength, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo, Rooney, Berbatov, Carlos Tevez, Jinjo Park, Giggs, Carrick, Scholes, and at that time was Fletcher. Fletcher was very in form. And before the final, Fletcher was in the semi-final against Arsenal. I think he got another yellow, but at that time Fletcher was really, really in form, and we were a little bit scared because in the middle, he was an engine. The guys would run everywhere, passing or tackle. He was really good at that time, Fletcher.
Okay, so that was you watching Man United before you had the second leg with Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, in which you came really close to not making the final after the goalless first leg. They take the lead through Michael Essien. 2 minutes to go, it's still 1-0 to Chelsea. The Andres Iniesta goal.
Yeah, Andres Iniesta scored the last.
Yeah.
Andres Iniesta started goal. We were 9-10 down. And I was thinking like, because I see that team, when Iniesta scored the goal, I see all the team running there. And I was saying, I was close to Abdal at that time. Abdal, I was close. I said, Abdal, why are they running? The game is not still finished. What are they doing? Because 2 minutes against Chelsea, because you have Adrogba, Anelka, Berbatov, Lampard, Michael, this team was incredible, you know. John Terry in the back, they were so powerful, you know. And I don't know how we drew against them because they was powerful. It was only the team can stop us at that time.
You've had some last-minute goals, you know, been in games with dramatic finales, of course, one very famously for Manchester City. Those were extraordinary scenes. Of course, Chelsea were furious at Tom Henning over Eber, the referee. And there was all that fuss after the final whistle as well. But Barcelona were through to the final in Rome, and it was Manchester United again.
10 years on from their famous treble, Manchester United lined up against Barcelona in the 2009 final at the Stadio Olimpico in Rome. Like United a decade earlier, Barcelona knew that victory would seal a treble of their own, having already won La Liga and the Copa del Rey. For the fifth year in a row, the Premier League was represented in the final, with United looking to become the first team in Champions League history to retain the trophy.
And you had a score to settle with them.
Yeah, because United, before the final, because at that time we were so good. We were in the final of the La Liga, final of Champions League. We already, I think, five games before, we already win La Liga. We're in the Copa del Rey final and after the Champions League final. And the Copa del Rey final, before that, we play, I think, Champions League semi-final and we lost players like Marquez, I think it was injury.
Barcelona's Eric Abidal is suspended after his semi-final sending off against Chelsea, and Dani Alves is also banned after picking up a booking in the same game. Carles Puyol returns from a one-match ban, and Yaya Toure plays at the back.
We have to make a defence with four. Puyol, usually, because he already played right back before, the centralis was fine. Abidal was not there. That means we have to put Sivinho in and Puyol maybe in the right. Who's going to be in the central defender? And that day, we have a meeting. And we were talking. We say, okay, yeah. Say, look at that. You want to put the defender? He said, no. Because Barcelona, this club is so... Did you imagine you play the final of Champions League and you lost it? And he's your foe. He never played the position. It's so, so difficult.
Yeah. That's the thing, the biggest game of your career at that point, playing against people like you mentioned, Ronaldo, Rooney, Giggs, etc.
Yeah.
And to do that and play out of position would be kind of the one thing you would never want, but that's what you had to do. You, how many times had you played centre-back before?
When I was in academy, I played.
Okay, but at Barcelona?
Never. It's never. It was only that time. I played in the central defender in the Copa del Rey in the final as well. Only twice.
How different is it? Yeah.
It's difficult, you know, because the pressure, because it's a final, by the way.
Mm.
You want to win it.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be the weakness of the team. And you can see your opponent in front of you and then the other half. They look at it, oh, who's the defender? Oh, he smile. You know what? Semi-final of Copa del Rey, semi-final Champions League. I was not bullied, but people underestimate me. Like, oh, yeah, play with PK. We're going to go that side. Maybe they think I'm going to leave the space, or maybe I'm not going to be in a position. And that's how I was so focused, trying to make the best, you know what I mean? Because for me, I know the people in front are going to make the difference, but I have to be, because I don't have to be the weakness on it. When I go with, for example, go with you to something or to exam or things, and we have to work together, I said, no worry, I will be behind you. Don't worry, I will be standard, and I don't going to be the weakness. I remember... Samuel Eto'o was talking to me, Thierry was talking to me, Xavi was look at me, because they was thinking I was fair, I was scared. And I said, no, because they know what they have in the face of them. And Champions League, they was dreaming about it. They want to have more Champions League and they will see it. The most important players and that position was suspended or injury, and I have to replace them. And they support me because I was young at that time and I never, ever played Champions League of semi-final of Champions League at that time. With the atmosphere around, with the singer, was old, it was so emotional. You have your family, you have your friends, you have the people there, trust you. And I see the fans from Barcelona was always pushing because they know it was not my position. And they know maybe as a young I was, maybe I can make mistakes, can make things, but I was thinking about, no, they don't have to see me as a weakness in there. They have to see me as a strong part of it.
Barcelona and Manchester United then, two modern superpowers who both have their eyes on European football's greatest prize, united in white.
Yaya, what usually happens, what's the kind of usual routine for a really big game like that, like a final?
Mm-hmm.
You all get to the stadium, what, a couple of hours early?
Yeah, we get to the stadium a couple of hours, a couple of hours, because Barcelona, what we do, I think they did... the best, I think, for me. Before the games, when Roma, we arrived with the family, we arrived with all the people around. We know the lineup before the games. And I have my family, my wife, my kids around me, my friends was there. And I tell them, look, I'm going to play defense. They said, what? No way, you cannot play. They tell you, you're going to quit. But I said that was already made it. But that's really important. And before we arrived there, that's why I used to don't listen to music, because music get me emotional more.
Okay.
I remember from 2007, when I met Eto'o, he always said, yeah. When we got to the stadium, all the players have a headphone, listen to music. And me, I was like, no, not interested. He said, but you have to. I said, no, that's my way to be focused. And I never, ever, ever, through my career, I will ever, because I like to feel it, this pressure, because the pressure for me was important. It means to me what I want to have it, what I'm going for. Because if you have music, it's relaxing. Just want to relax my body, my mind.
Yeah. There was one piece of music you did listen to, though, before the 2009 finals. An unusual thing which Pep had prepared for the team before you went out onto the Stadio Olimpico pitch. Can you tell us about the film that he had made?
Yeah, I think it was brilliant, to be honest, you know. And what it mean a lot to all of us, when we were in the dressing room, most of the players was emotional And they just make the montage was unbelievable. Like, and the training session and the games, one player's get injuries, one player's got a problem with the family, another one just come in, tackle, suffer. And after that, they put in things with the music of the gladiator and that. It was the, you know what I mean? The mix of it was make you galvanize you, make you feel, gosh, yes. Because at that time, you put the light off and you put the music, and it was all around there, and we were watching the Iniesta get hamstring. He get the problem in his hamstring. He was crying, put it off, we win for him. After that, Samuel Eto'o was tackled. After the tackle, another one, Tierney chased someone. After that, when we go to the tunnel, it was Andrea Bollucini singing the peak of it. It was really, really good, to be honest.
Emotional scenes then, and then the game starts.
Stiflingly hot in Rome for this final. The first touch of the ball for Ferdinand, a timely return to the United side for him.
We should talk about Barcelona's starting 11. You were talking about some of the Man United players, but it was an insane lineup.
Yeah, it was still, yeah, it was still really, really good for me because it was a big bill of Valdez and a goal right by Puyol, Piqué, mm-hmm. Silvino, Busquets, Iniesta, Xavi, Thierry Henry, Samuel Eto'o, and Messi.
So you got 2 4-time winners of the African Player of the Year award, there, the African Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
Yourself and Samuel Eto'o, a future 7-time Ballon d'Or in Messi, Thierry Henry in there, 2 of the greatest midfielders ever to play. Attacking midfielders in Iniesta and Xavi, legends like Piqué and Puyol as well. Just amazing. And this kid from Boyacá called Touré Yaya.
Yaya Touré moving back into that central defensive role. Sergio Busquets in the holding midfield role for Barca tonight.
Had you been looking forward to the game?
Well, I think this game was like the end of the good story for the team. When you name the players was in the lineup, even at the bench, it was all top players, top character, big character as well. And we were thinking like, guys, we have to accomplish the mission. Yeah, the previous year with Rijkaard was so, so criticized by fans. Not by fans, but by newspaper around the world. We have Thierry, Ronaldinho, Deco, Messi coming up. The team was top and we can even achieve. And the criticism of it, we need to accomplish because ourselves, like I said to you sometime in the games, or before the games, or in the training session, guys, we play Bayern or we play Milan, guys. First half, 45 minutes, we give all pressure, get the ball, try to score 3 goals. Second half, we have to make a run though. So prepare for the next game because this team was prepared for everywhere because we want to. We want to put a statement in there. Last year was maybe try to understand each other, but at the same time, when the new coach coming, I think he was lucky as well to have this group and the other advice on it. Diego Milito, those young players from the country like Busquets, Pedro, the core of the club of the team was like so hungry to achieve trophies because Barcelona have a Thierry, Samuel Eto'o, Messi don't win any trophies in the season. Was unacceptable for the fans and the club.
All right, so this is the big game, the biggest game of this season, the grand finale of this story that you guys have been putting together, and you feeling the pressure of being the defender. Early on, mm-hmm. I'm not sure whether you wanted to kind of introduce yourself as a defender, but you kind of introduce Anderson to your shoulder.
United on the front foot here in the opening exchanges. The body check there from Yaya Touré on Anderson.
But then it's a free kick for Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Nervous moments.
That familiar pose from Cristiano Ronaldo. What will be the outcome? Well, an awkward shot there, just beaten away by Victor Valdez.
Cristiano will have the free kick, and this season it was incredible. Score goals, free kicks, goals, header. He was top, you know. And Victor Valdez, we know. And unfortunately, he shoot. And that's about if he was shooting in the right way, we were ready to sacrifice. Like we always saying, like when the ball coming, put our head, put the things. After that, you go out and you come back if you can. And I think we were there because we know when we're going to have the ball and the half, we're going to dominate it. But when we're going to get the ball and our half, it's going to be tough because United was good on pressure. They tactically was really, really well organized. They know what they're doing. Four back, Patrice Silva, Vidic, Ferdinand, and Oshie, the experience, and Van der Sar and the goal. There was rah, 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 but we were calm and say, oh, guys, we two high-level clubs, to be honest.
Yeah. It looked like they had the upper hand for the first 10 minutes or so, but then Iniesta finds Samuel Eto'o, and it's Barcelona who have the lead.
Taken away there by Carrick. Here's Iniesta. First chance we've really had to see him. Real threat here, and a goal from Samuel Eto'o. Well, it's the first time Barcelona have really penetrated into the Manchester United penalty area. And Samuel Eto'o is razor sharp and absolutely lethal inside the box.
It was a great, great goal. It was not the most beautiful goal, but it was the most important to relieve the team and feel that we're in the front foot, because we always want to be in front foot, because they're going to be so compact in back, and to break down the line is going to be difficult. But of course, we have Iniesta, Xavi, Messi, can make the difference anytime. But they knew United was deadly. It was deadly. We can't avoid them to be in the front of us.
Manchester United going into this match on a record-breaking 25-game unbeaten run in the competition.
And that's why we're trying to just be well-organized, controllable, and wait for the mistakes. But they didn't have any mistakes to try to create after the move of the genius of Iniesta. And that day, Iniesta was, with the report of the doc, he was close to not play the game. And he played because he had a problem in his hamstring. And he passed the ball still. Iniesta, incredible player.
Now Iniesta. His influence growing with every passing minute, tiptoeing his way through. A wonderful improvisation there, almost setting up an opportunity for Henry. And it brings to an end a first half in which Manchester United had dominated the opening exchanges, playing with confidence and swagger, but then fell behind to a goal from Samuel Eto'o in the 10th minute of the game. And at half-time, it is Barcelona increasingly asserting their authority, who lead Manchester United by 1-0.
Yeah. Was there another video at halftime, or just a team talk this time?
No, at halftime, we don't have any videos. We have a team talk. They're going to attack, because Barcelona at that time, what we want the team to press us, you know, because when we don't have the ball, we press. But when the team press us, we always find the right men, you know what I mean? We call any patient, because in the first time, United was in the block, don't know how to break them down. 2v1, 3v2, 4v3, 5v3, we always find a way. Because we move sharp and we understand the movement and each other, you know, we can communicate. And even in the past, we see the team communicate. That's due to the training, to a lot of session, to a lot of understanding, tactics, everything like that. And after that, some of the talents we have, it like Xavi, Iniesta, Messi, they've been in a, we just have this culture, this understanding that we work days after days to understand it. In the second half, we were like, guys, play now. They're going to come out. And yes, like that.
Yeah, the second half, certainly watching from outside, it looked like it was more comfortable for you guys, and particularly when, with 20 minutes to go, Xavi puts that cross in.
Messi moving in towards the centre, and Puyol as well in a centre-forward position at the moment. Xavi once more, in towards Messi. Oh, it's a majestic finish!
What I love about that goal, apart from the magnificence of Messi's header, and it was his first goal against an English club, but it's Xavi, as soon as he's hit the cross, he just calmly turns around and starts walking back to the centre circle, because he knows exactly what's about to happen, and Messi meets it and in it goes, and that's 2-0, and that's how it finishes.
Yeah, but the thing is that that's how you have to understand it. That's not how you try to educate my groups and Tottenham, the fact that this player, there was elite level. You understand it? Because, okay, it's the final. Score 2 goals. Maybe left 20, 10 minutes. But still on. Still focused. Still committed. Mm. And still concentrated. You know what I mean? He's not losing his concentration. That's really important.
Barcelona almost there. Pep Guardiola, of course, was a member of the first Barcelona team to win the European Cup when they beat Sampdoria at Wembley back in 1992. He's now set to guide the team to their third European Cup.
And that's how elite players are. And Xavi, he was a big example for me, for Busquets, Edmilson Mota, because he knows the culture of the country, but as well, because when I arrived there, I remember how many times, for example, when the table, when we have to eat, you have to come close to me and talk to me, and close to Iniesta as well, come bring Iniesta, come the midfielder. We talk about how we have to play. We cannot be dominated. It was like, that's why I was saying it was so many captains in this team at that time. It was impressive.
Manchester United made an excellent start to the game, but that was all it was. Because as soon as Samuel Eto'o scored after 10 minutes, there was only ever going to be one winner of the 2009 Champions League final. And that was Barcelona.
We had another captain, Rio Ferdinand, on this podcast, talking about the 2008 final, and we mentioned this game, mm-hmm. and he described losing a Champions League final as the worst feeling he's ever had in football, which, I mean, I'm sure you can understand, but how did it feel then to win this game?
The thing is that in the semi-final against them in 2008, mm-hmm. we lost in there because I think we should have win one in Camp Nou first. But after that, it comes to the mistake. But of course, officially, is one of my big brother, can I say that important, because Zambrotta was so close with him. He make a mistake because he was thinking at the middle. He passed the ball there. I was already gone and scores, recover the ball and shoot from how many yards. He cannot repeat it, you know what I mean? Because if we, in that 2008, we only have Champions League, because in the La Liga, we were behind Real Madrid. Copa del Rey, we were out. We only have the Champions League. And going to Champions League and the semi-final Champions League against United, and they beat us. I think most of the team was nearly crying. We cried in the dressing room and the stadium of United. You know, it was so difficult to imagine that. And after that, go to the final, lose that, it was impossible. We can't avoid that. This team will be broken apart. We were like wanted to win that.
What did you feel then when the final whistle blows and you can finally relax? You've won the Champions League. You've also won it as a defender. You didn't concede.
Well, I think, to be honest, I realised that after 2 days, to be honest. After 2 days. Because after the game, the game was still on in my head. And after that, second uh-huh. day, I was like, we win the field. Because it's when we went to the tour, you know, in the city with the trophies, that day I realised it. And but the first day, after the games, I didn't sleep all day. I didn't sleep all day, to be honest.
And it's Barcelona's night. Champions of Europe for a third time. And the celebrations start now. They will last long into the night.
What did you do that night?
James, I don't know. I didn't sleep, to be honest. What I know, I didn't sleep. I don't remember, but I didn't sleep. What I remember the most is that I see, for example, people praise me for my courage, for my determination, because they know it was not my position, but they understand as well, because 2 days before the final, I was like empty. I was like feeling like, oh, no, right. It was so much heavy on me. Like I said, if you make one mistake, it's done. That 2-3 days before when we were carrying on to the final, PK was close to me. Yeah, nobody play final. And after that, we have some exercise, attack and defense, where we have to cover up, cop throw up, do the things. But the only good things was came in my head was like, was the final like anyone? But I don't want to regret. I have to give everything. If I lose it, I lose it. And after that, the coach as well, he knows, he take a risk putting me there. But he don't have any choice. And I was the one who said, okay, I want to play defender because I know Busquets, I know that the players cannot do it because they were not ready and we can't afford to lose this game.
So there you were, Champions League winner. You have another season at Barcelona and then comes the move to Manchester City. Mm. Why did that transfer come about?
No, this transfer was understood it and clearly organized and truly, truly, truly working out because my time in Barcelona was up. I didn't have much games. I didn't have much times on the field. And it was tough. You know, it was really tough because me, my time, my understanding as a footballer is enjoying and share passion and love and happiness, because I was happy in the field. Out the field on the bench, I was really, I always sad. I didn't try to criticize others. I criticized someone. I was blaming myself because I didn't sign to play football to be sad. And that's why I moved from Barcelona. And as well, the key things was that my brother at that time was at Man City, as well, Mancini as well was there. He would say, yeah, you have a life here. You come here, we're gonna support you. Your brother's there, Patrick Vieira is there, Adebayo is there. When you come in, we're gonna push him forward. And I said to myself, look, I want to win trophies. I want to relive that again. We said that if you come in, we're gonna create a team, build up a team. This time, the team is gonna be top. And he said to me, Man United, we have to get the rain back out from them. I said, you sure? He said to me, yes. I said, okay, let's do this then. I'm gonna do it.
35 years, Man City had been waiting for a trophy, and they get one soon enough. Your run of goals on the way to that FA Cup, with naturally a one against Man United, your favourite rivals, which I think he's one of your favorites,
though. Yeah, that's true. He's one of my favorite in that because I predict that before when I arrived. The one team we have to look for always, we have to take it down a bit or be on top of them was United. Because I know Liverpool was strong. Liverpool was strong. Chelsea was strong. Arsenal was strong with Arsene Wenger, which Everton was a serious team. You know what I mean? We have a lot of team we have to fight against. But United was the target one because we were staying in the same city.
Yeah.
If you come there, it's going to be really, really tough. That means I have to give you, not 100%, but 150, 200%. That means I have to be involved with all the games, show the example, show the commitment, and show the desire like that, the fans see, because they don't want to see Yaya play only Premier League or Champions League. You have to see Yaya play Premier League, FA Cup, and League Cup, all the competition.
And also Yaya Touré, not just playing as a kind of defensive midfielder, but all over the field. This is the thing. You won the Champions League at Barcelona, but in a sense, we hadn't yet seen the best of you as a player.
Yeah.
The evolution of you at Man City was extraordinary.
No, that's the thing. That's the thing. How I can adapt in a lot of position because I understand sometimes I've been criticized a lot about my positioning, my way to defend. But at the end of the day, people, when you pass time with the players, you pass time with them because now I understand real. Now I'm staying with my lads from the academy, the 16s. In the beginning, first day, I look at them and say, okay, I can have the opinion, quick one. But when you pass them 1 week, 2 weeks, month, years, you start to understand that. You start to realize it. What the coach can give to this player, what advice he can give it to make him better, to find his best way. Because Mancini was look at me. He knew I can defend. He knew if you put me like a Barcelona, because in Barcelona I was defending. Barcelona, I was playing central back. I didn't even leave my position. I was running after Cristiano Ronaldo. I was running everywhere, trying to defend and stop the attack. But he knew with the quality I have, it was the best for me to be forward because there I was more dangerous because physically I was top. Technique, I was good. And he knew in front, around, surrounded by 2-3 players, going to be difficult for them to take the ball because sometimes we have a session where we have really, really small space and no one can take the ball from my feet. And we'll say, oh, I was accurate and score goals. I was accurate in speed, box to box, and it transformed me. He said, yeah, you have to be there. I said, no, I want to follow the ball. He said, no, stay there, De Jong and Barry. That's why he invented De Jong and Barry to be certain there. When I saw them play outside me, give me the freedom to go forward.
2013-14, 20 goals you scored. You had 9 assists. And Lord knows how much other work you were putting in as well. Yeah, can I ask, had you always had goal-scoring instincts? And if so, was it really frustrating for you when you were at Barcelona, the fact that you couldn't go forward, that you were in a team with some of the greatest attacking players to play off in the world, but you could never go up front and play with them?
No, because if you, for example, you check in the stat and they check in the record, you will see before Barcelona, I was in Monaco. And Monaco, I was playing number 10 behind Cola, Serge Gapé and Menez, Jeremy Menez. I was like going forward all the time. When I went to Barcelona, Rijkaard warned me because he know what my physique, because he know Xavi and Iniesta are not physical. And sometimes when we play Madrid, Atletico Madrid, Bilbao, Valencia, you need some presence, physical presence, the guys who are going to. And when I come in, the first meeting we have, they say, yeah, I'm going to play with deep defense. I said, why? I want to play. I said, no, but I have played already there. So why you sign me then, coach? I said, no, I want you to play you because I know you can do it. Because he was looking at technical players and physical players as well. Because you know when my technical and my understanding as well, because he watched me when I was in Monaco carefully. Tactically, I was really good because I understand, I follow the tactical and the rules. And in the beginning, when I arrived in Monaco, from Monaco, I was in Barcelona, I was running everywhere. And after that, we watched videos, because my instinct was always going forward, always try to finish or give it pass or be one of the overload players there to be in the box, to just give a lot of play option to the guys who are going to give pass across. But he get me back for, I think he gave me 1 week, 2 times, we have a video. You have to remind me. And after that, I stand there. And after that, when I got it, and that's the time the new coach come in, and after that, I get the idea. But it was incredible. And after that, I realized that these guys developed me a lot as a person, players, and understanding as well.
Okay.
That's why now, as a coach, I want to share with the young lads to understand that.
Yeah, you had so many great players with you as well at Man City, and there were great triumphs there too. Every domestic honour going. Premier League title. I mentioned the Aguero goal earlier on, the finish of the 11-12 season. Mm-hmm. For all of that, though, there's always been one prize that eludes Man City. Why do you think it is that the Champions League hasn't come? Why are we not doing a podcast about a Man City Champions League win right now?
I don't know.
No?
Because me, I wanted to have it. That was my dream before I left there. It's not easier, to be honest. You know, the Champions League, it demands something special. It demands something different. When you look at the team around, the look at the team is going to be involved. It's tough. City always got the chance. They always have the chance to win it. For me, it's always been when I get to the playing team like Barcelona, where I achieve a lot, where I learn a lot, where I understand a lot. That fact, those players, they were like, I don't want to say other clubs or Man City, they're not professional. I don't want to say Tottenham or other clubs are unprofessional. It's because those players, they know what they were doing. And there was like focus. On top of that, you have to understand the luck have to be with them as well. Because the Champions League, everyone can win. Because me, it's not only the Champions League, in FA Cup, AFCON in Africa. I've been twice semi-final, lost one time, final, lost against Egypt. And the fourth time I win the fourth time. And sometimes depends. You have to have a determination, be patient, understand it. Because sometimes depends as well with the demand of the fans of the clubs as well. Because otherwise people are just wanted to have it. Yeah, we're going to have it because we have it. I don't know how we're going to get it because me, I put myself under pressure that when I was playing Man City at that time, I wanted to have that. I remember when we get out, knockout from against Real Madrid in that time in the semi-final where Mourinho was the coach and Cristiano was the school, the killer goals. Is that I put that pressure on me. I want to achieve that. And I didn't achieve that. I was reflecting myself. And after that, we have a meeting, understanding. Because when we arrived to the quarterfinal, semi-final, final, it's no small team, you know. Everything can happen. And any big players can make, because you're going to find big clubs, big players, character players, and all this, yeah.
As a player, you went from Ivory Coast to Belgium, Ukraine, Greece, Monaco, Catalonia, and then England.
The last one is China.
Oh, China, sorry, yes. As a manager, Russia, China again, is that right?
Yeah, Ukraine.
And Ukraine, yeah.
And Russia.
And QPR and Blackburn, most exotically of all, before joining Spurs, where you're in charge of the under-16s?
Yes.
What's the number one thing you tell them? And do you play them gladiator before they go out for big games?
No.
Okay.
Because the period is totally different. The period is totally different because now we're talking about the youth development, but making understand me to know them, and develop myself as well, and understanding the surrounding. And it's really important because for me, the goal is I have to make maybe 4, 5, 6 players better, who is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But the things, that's the pressure I have it, and that's the demand I put myself, just to make them better and beat on the top of the game. Because I've been playing the game in the past, I've been seeing the games as well, and I'm going to see the game in the future again. And what I'm thinking is those players have it. I try to identify some of them, look at them and work on them carefully and look at the games, how they can develop, how I can make them better. And the main goals for me is not they have to stop in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to carry on and I want them to remember me, or maybe I want them to maybe be my player if you have been a professional coach, you know, in the Premier League or in Europe. I want them to come to my team and say, oh, yeah, you're there. We'll make the journey today. You remember an academy? Those things is really important. I want them to be not only the coach, but the friend and the people who they can trust.
Brilliant. And yeah, finally then, after so many places, so many chapters and stops in your journey, when are you going to settle down?
Well, I don't know. Because I think for me, like I said before, I always follow the ball. Because the football ball, the ball for me is so important. You know, the ball bring me from Africa to Europe. Now I'm in England. Maybe the ball is going to stop in England and we never know.
Well, it's been an absolute delight to speak to you.
Thank you, John.
Legend and a king of Europe, Touré Yahia.
Thank you very much, James.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh.
Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.